So I'm guessing after that gospel reading, you're all thinking this was the right day to come to church. Because we all love talking about the law. And I'm really looking forward, and I hope I don't go on too long, because I have been using this term, the law, a lot in church since I've been a priest. And as a priest who's gone to seminary, you always think you're explaining yourself pretty well, but then you realize when you get like 3 and 4 questions in the last month about what is this thing, what do you mean when you say the law, that I haven't done as good a job as I would like. And so today and during this period in the church year, we're going to talk a little bit about what we mean when we talk about the law. In its simplest form, the law is simply the way of living that God has given to us so that we might know better how to love one another and how to love ourselves. It's really no more complicated than that. Jesus himself says, you know, everything is summed up in this. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to know what the law is, that's the law. Love God with everything you have and love one another. Now, here's where it gets tricky. When we get a law like that, our tendency as human beings is to say, well, now how do I do that? And we like to make all kinds of other laws in order to kind of help ourselves feel like we are doing the right thing. So God wants us to love God, and God wants us to love one another. And instead of just letting that be, letting that settle into our hearts and just following where that takes us by the grace of God, we feel a strong compulsion to come up with other rules, other ways of living. And we have some of those laws in the Bible, right? We have the Ten Commandments, we have the Levitical and the law that's given in Deuteronomy. There's all kinds of laws and rules you can find in Scripture. You can find Paul himself and the disciples and Jesus talking about ways in which we ought to live. So what are we to do with that? I'll be honest, I don't think there's too much in the Scriptures that isn't helpful as far as trying to understand what a life of loving God and loving one another looks like. But if you grew up in the church as I did, there's a good chance that much of what you were taught was more about the rules and more about the law than it was about the grace and the love that's supposed to flow out of it. You see, my understanding is that the law's purpose is not even really necessarily for us to kind of guide our lives by. The purpose of the law is to help us to take an honest look at ourselves, to realize that we stand in need of grace, we stand in need of help, and to allow that realization to humble us, to make us realize that we, all of our attempts at self-justification aren't good enough, and that we need grace. We need forgiveness and we need love. And that is something that God has come all the way to us to give us, both in the person of Jesus and in the giving of the Holy Spirit. The law drives us to the cross. That's its primary purpose. The trouble is once we find the cross, once we find forgiveness, and once we find the love that God has for us, in the person of Jesus and our Messiah, too often we run back to the law. And we think, okay, I'm a Christian now. I've done this baptism thing. I come and I worship in this church. I come to this table. What do I do now? And people that stand in pulpits like these are always all too willing to tell you what you need to do now. We love doing that. We love trying to tell you how to live your life. Because we, of course, know best how you need to live your life. And if you haven't caught the dripping sarcasm in my voice, let me be very clear, that is not my job. You can find churches that are telling churches. You can find plenty of churches where it is organized around me standing here and telling you what to think and believe. I personally find that to be a grave injustice to the gospel. Because if I stand here and presume that I know the gospel better than you, we are lost. Because I only have one small piece of it. I have, my understanding of the gospel is I have received it through the life that I have lived and through the grace that has been given to me. And if I don't have the humility to come to you and to learn from you what your piece of that picture of God is, then we're missing a huge piece of the perspective. The reason the church is talked about so much, the reason the body of Christ, the people of God, is so central to the scriptures is because it is in community, it is in gathering together, it is in relating to one another, day in and day out, through the difficult stuff that we bring to the table, as well as the joyful things we celebrate in one another. We get a better and fuller picture of who God is. Christianity is not about following a bunch of rules. It's about realizing that the rules are impossible for us to follow by our own strength and to allow that to transform us. And here's what I mean. We talk a lot in the church about loving one another, right? That's an important thing. I mean, it's in the scripture. It's a big piece of it. But I would caution us in starting with loving one another. Because I don't think we have the capacity to love one another until we learn how to love ourselves. We're pretty good, at least I know I'm really good, I can't speak for you, but I'm really good at being selfish and trying to pretend that is self-love. But it's a very different thing than loving myself. I realized this is embarrassing to say. I've been standing in this pulpit telling you about how you're lovable and forgivable and beautiful creatures of God, children of God, for like the last, 4 years? And it's only been in the last 4 months that message for my own life has started to dig into my heart. I was really good at saying that and believing that in my head. I was not very good at hearing it and believing it in my heart. I didn't realize until a few months ago that I hold on to and have been holding on to a lot of self-loathing, into a lot of insecurity, into a lot of shame. It's been through conversations and opportunities that I've had with friends and with just random acquaintances that I've run into in my life that I've really been able to look at myself and see just a piece of the beautiful person that God sees in me. And the reason that that's important is that when I look at myself and just kind of feel like I'm doing okay and aren't really honest with what's in there, I tend to lash out and I tend to react out of my insecurity and my pain. But over the last year, as I've been able to look into my heart and see some of the things that I really don't like about myself, as I've started to hear the word of the law that God has given us and to compare it to my own life and to realize how far I come up short, it has been transformational. Because for the first time in many ways, I've been able to look at myself and to see the things I don't like about myself and to realize that God still loves me, that I'm still valuable, and that I'm still important and loved by God in spite of it. And the amazing power of that is that all of a sudden that those insecurities and those anxieties I have about myself no longer have power over me like they once did. For me, that is the transformation that we seek, that I seek in this place, in this faith community, and in this world. It's in getting to know myself better and better, seeing the darker and darker places of my heart, and then being reminded that even in spite of all that, God still loves me. And God has always loved me and will never love me more than he does already. And God will never love you more than God does already. And the amazing thing about what I believe the gospel is about is that it then calls us from that place into freedom. It calls us into learning how to love ourselves in that way so that we can then, in a healthy way, love one another, love the people we encounter in this world, and be transformed. I don't think any of you need a whole bunch of laws and rules to follow. I think God is at work in the midst of us. I think God is here and lives within you and guides your heart into truth day in and day out. The trouble is, I think a lot of the rules and ideas that we've inherited from our society, from our culture, from our churches, makes it hard for us to hear the voice of God that calls us into new life, that calls us into freedom. I mean, how many times do you hear the word freedom and say, go, love, and do as you will, and think, oh, but what if I start doing this? Or what if someone starts doing that? And what if they, What if in their freedom they want to do X or Y or Z? Okay. The grace of God is all-encompassing. It surrounds and fills everything in this world, in our lives and in our hearts. There is nothing you need to be afraid of. There is nothing you can do that will separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that you can do to make yourself unlovable. There is nothing that you can do or realize about yourself that will make you unworthy in God's eyes because of what God has done for us in Jesus. You see, the trouble with the law and what was going on in Jesus' day is that the people had heard the rules, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not swear falsely, these kinds of things. They're in the Ten Commandments, right? And the people hearing that said, okay, how do we do that? Let's make up rules to make sure we don't break those laws. And then Jesus comes on the scene and says, you know, you've heard about these laws. Let me tell you what I really mean by them. Let me tell you what God really means by them. And what God says is, it's not just about not killing someone, it's about not being angry. It's not about just not committing adultery, it's about not lusting after anyone in your heart. And what Jesus is doing in this passage and in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount from which this comes, what Jesus is doing is raising the bar to help us to realize that we all come up short. That the job that we have in this world is not to try to live up to the law of God, but in our place of need to receive the love of God as we are. Because Christianity is not about doing anything. It's not about living a certain way. It's not about looking a certain way. It's about hearing and believing that God loves you. That is it. We can have all kinds of conversation around theology about how that works and who Jesus is and what the Trinity is about and all these things, but that's all just the language of the church. That's just the language that we as the church have come up with to try to explain the truth of God's love for us. And if some of those words aren't helpful, let's have conversations about that. Because the last thing God wants is language getting in the way of you hearing that you are loved and adored by God. That God has done everything, has moved heaven and earth to come to you, to set you free from the bondage of your pain and your need, your dysfunction, whatever it is that lives within you. You are forgiven. You are holy. You are beautiful. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about how he came and he fed the people of the Corinthian church when he first came. He fed them milk, right? He fed them baby's food. But now as they learn to grow in their faith and as they walk along the path of Jesus, he is calling them and encouraging them to live on solid food. I personally believe that the law, all the rules that we create for ourselves, that's the milk. And it's helpful for a time. It's helpful to have some kind of structure in our minds about what it means to follow God, how we live, how we go about our lives. It's helpful to have those things. But that's not the meat of the walk of the Christian. The solid food that we grow into is the food of freedom and of majesty, of glory and of holiness, of beauty and of joy. It's when we can start letting go of all these things we think we ought to do and celebrate the things we get to do. Your heart will lead you where you need to go. It's going to lead you in a different place than my heart's going to lead me. It's going to respond to the words of the gospel and to the words of Jesus differently than I respond to them. And as we gather around one another, and as some of us, our hearts are led to serve the poor and the homeless, and others of us, our hearts are led to care for those in prison. Other of us are just called, not just, but are called to go into our workplace and be a shoulder to cry on, or an ear to listen, or a heart to pray. I don't know what God's calling you into. But please don't let whatever rules you've heard in church or in the society keep you from doing it. In my experience, following where my heart has led me and leads me takes me into some unusual and sometimes scary places. In the last few years, I know God has led me into places that 10 years ago I would have looked at myself and thought, what are you doing? What are you doing at a Burning Man festival in Florida? My 16-year-old self would have been very judgy about that. What are you doing at this festival where everyone's just having a big party and going crazy and doing tons of drugs? What's a priest doing there? And yet I sat on a bus for 5 hours talking with six folks who wanted nothing to do, have no interest in life in the church. And I got to talk to them about a lot of these ideas. I got to talk to them about why I was there and why I thought community was important and why I thought the opportunity to encourage and invite people into learning how to love themselves so that they can learn to love others better is important. And the ways in which I have found pieces of that in this community that gathers at these events and how I want to learn how to do church better, how to be a better priest by what I've learned from them in the strangest and most unusual of places. And we talked for 5 hours about the gospel. I don't know if I used that word. I certainly didn't insist that at the end of the day they all kneel down and accept Jesus into their hearts. But we talked about Jesus, and we talked about love, we talked about God and what unites us together. And we're gonna have more conversations down the road. And I would have never been able to have that conversation if I wasn't a priest in this strange place in Miami, somewhere I'm not supposed to be. God does strange and amazing things in all of our lives. Some of the most exciting things have surprised me in places I never expected. And I think the same is offered to you. When I talk about the law, it's not about the stuff you need to do. When I talk about the law, what I'm talking about is all the stuff that we know shows us that we don't quite live up to what we want to be in our lives. That we are people that need help. That we are people that need grace. The most dangerous thing in this world and in our lives is when we think we're doing okay. If we go home and at the end of the night we're not worried about anything because we have managed to justify all the ways in which we live and all the ways in which we believe and think, when we go to bed feeling comfortable and okay with ourselves because we are doing everything right, it's the most dangerous place to be. Because if I'm doing everything right, then what everyone needs to do is just do everything like I do it. I promise you that's not what you need to do. But do you see the danger in that? You see, it's in realizing when we go to bed that there's parts of us that aren't the way they're supposed to be. And we mourn that. We don't celebrate it. We don't, take joy in it, but we recognize it. We allow that knowledge to sink into our hearts and to call us into something new. It helps us to realize that when we face those things, we don't have to be as afraid of them because we're loved anyway in spite of it. And it allows us to grow. It allows us to transform. It allows us to start living on the solid food of the gospel and to know that no matter who you are, what you do, or where you've been, you are loved by God. God's grace is for you and God's love is for you. And when we gather at this table, it is God's sign to you and to me that we are welcome, that we are loved, and that we are lovable. And then you get to go into this world, you get to follow your hearts and see where it takes you. And I guarantee it will be to exciting and new places where the gospel and the light of God needs to go and needs to shine. And you have the opportunity to be a part of that. And I celebrate the opportunity to do it with you, alongside of you, as a part of this community. So thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to serve and worship with you in this place and in this world, in this kingdom. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.